those areas. Now, when they violate those goals, you have a basis on which to go back and say you're not living up to what you and I together established as necessary in order for you to be successful, in order for you to prosper in God's way. Then you can call their attention based on those areas. That's where the reinforcement, the warning, takes place with the child. And then I would say, when they violate that again, when they violate, you've given them the warning, and they've chosen instead, they're going to disobey. They understood your instructions, and they're going to disobey. And that's where the third step comes, and the third step is correction. The actual process of correcting the child. I would say to you that if this is established when they're young, it'll be much easier on you later on. Many times people ask the question, they say, when are they old enough? When are they too young? And I would tell you that I cannot give you a pat answer on that. I will tell you this. In our family, Timothy never learned and never threw a temper tantrum until he learned it from Jonathan. Timothy was 2.5 years old before all of a sudden he saw Jonathan one day lay down on the floor and start kicking his feet, and so he decided he'd try. And I just stopped and said, wait a minute, son, that ain't going to start. I'll never forget, though, bringing Jonathan home. Now, Jonathan, when he gets his mind set on something, there is nobody more stubborn than Jonathan besides me. I can't figure where he got it from, but he's very stubborn. And, however, there's nobody more loving. When they're on right, I mean, he's right on. But when he's stubborn, buddy, he's right on stubborn, too. I brought him home from the hospital. We were sitting there. My mom had just worked out in her schedule to where on each one of our children, when they were born, she was able to come up and be with us for a week or 2 weeks and help Nancy with the kids and things around the home and so on during those early points. She'd been there with Timothy, and she was there with Jonathan. We're sitting in the living room one day. Jonathan was 8 or 9 days old at the time. And my mom's sitting over there holding him, and all of a sudden, he stiffens up, turns red as a beet in the face, and squalls at the top of his lungs, his lip just quivering like this, you know. And mom held him, honey, I don't know what's wrong. I mean, he was fine just a second ago, you know, kind of scared this little what's going on. Well, I mean, we checked. He'd been fed a long time ago. He'd been burped, no gas on the stomach, no dirty diaper, no nothing. And I talked with him a minute and then realized, Mom, he's pitching a fit. He's showing his will. And she had this questioning look in her eyes like, you know, I said, let me have him. And so she very gingerly handed Jonathan over to me, you know. And I sat there with him and just as stiff, I mean, you couldn't turn him if you wanted to, you know, just as stiff as he could be. So I'm holding this board in my hands and I lean down here to him and I speak in his ear in a gentle tone, as soft as I could with this wailing going on in my ear over here. And I said, Jonathan, David, this is your daddy. No, no. And I swatted him on the bottom of his diaper one time. And when I did, within a matter of 3 seconds, he began to relax. The blood left his face. It didn't show up on his body either. Blood left his face, and he was resting after 5 seconds, comfortable and cooing in my arms and happy again. And my mom sat across the room going, she said, I've raised 4 kids. And she said, if I had not sat here and seen what I just saw, I wouldn't have believed it. And folks, I'll tell you something. The earlier you begin the process with the right heart and for the right purpose, the earlier you'll be able to not have to apply a rod to your children anymore. Timothy is 8 years old now. And I will tell you this, it is rare ever that I have to apply the rod to him anymore. I can reason with him. His will is easily broken. And Jonathan is becoming the same way, even though he is 2 years behind him. Because of the application of correction, what I understand to be God's way. Now, let me give you some practical areas here. First of all, avoid embarrassment. Avoid embarrassment. Don't spank one of the children in front of the other kids to use them as an example. Why? Because they're a person. If they can be laying there on your lap and look across the room and see another brother or sister kind of smirking, all it does is causes pride to swell up on the inside, and it's going to be that much longer before they break. Second thing is, don't make threats you can't keep in there. Don't be in the grocery store and say, if you do that one more time, I'm going to pull down your pants and spank you right here in front of everybody. That kid's got a brain. And all they got to do is look around and see these other folks going through the store, and they think, she wouldn't do that. Don't make threats you can't keep. If I'm in a store with my children, something like that, here's what you do. I will get their attention, get on eye-to-eye contact with them, and I will say to them, Jonathan, I've asked you not to pick up anything else off the shelf. Now, son, if you do it again, if you pick up something off the shelf again, I want to show you what's going to happen. And so I'll take the cart and I'll run him to the end of the store where you can see all the glass windows out front, and there's our truck out in the parking lot. I'll say, now look, if you disobey me again, son, you've already had your warning. If you disobey me again, we're going to walk right down this aisle right here. See those doors? You know the doors you love to open up all the time? We're going to go over there. We're going to go right out those doors. We're going to go right out. You see the truck out there? You know what Daddy has in the truck, don't you? I have a rod in the truck. We'll sit in the back seat, and Daddy will spank you. Then he thinks, he's thought this thing through. He means business. See, avoid embarrassment. Secondly, show grief and not anger. That's why it's important that you get on eye level with them. When you look down on a child, you have a tendency just to look angry from the position of your face. Get on eye to eye level with them and show grief. Grief is a love word, folks. Anger is self-centered. Anger is because they've embarrassed me, because they've put our reputation on the line, because they defied my authority. Grief is a love word. You begin to pain because you know the pain that they're going to suffer because of their disobedience. Thirdly, establish responsibility for the offense. When you're establishing responsibility for the offense, you want to ask a series of questions. Remember, folks, an accusation hardens the will. A question confronts the conscience. Rather than making an accusation that puts them on the defensive, ask them a question. For example, what did you do? You know the answer to that. It's always the same. Nothing. Oh, well, what about this? Oh, you mean that? Yes. Did you do that? Yes, Daddy, I did that. Yes, Mommy, I did that. What does God say about this? Not what do I say about this. What does God say about this? You see, you want to also associate love with your correction. I mean, we heard it when we were growing up. You know, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. But you never understood that until you became a parent. Associate love with correction. Honey, I love you so much that I have to help you get out of this pattern in your life. I have to help you stop this area. You know why? Because God spanks harder than I do. And I love you enough to deal with it now while your will is tender and easily pliable. Fourthly, establish God as the authority. By the way, back up to associating love with correction. Don't attack their character. Deal with their behavior, but don't attack their character. You shouldn't make statements like, you're a bad boy. No, what you did was disobedience. What you did was wrong. Not, you're a naughty girl. No, what you did is wrong. Deal with the behavior, don't attack their character. Establish God as the ultimate authority. I'm responsible to God. God has told me that if I don't correct you the way I know I'm supposed to, God will have to correct me, and you'll suffer the consequences through the years for it. And then use a neutral object. Many parents say, you know, I've tried that spanking thing with my kids, and it just didn't work. And so I say to them, can you tell me how you spanked them? I say, well, what do you mean? I say, well, first of all, what did you use? And the most obvious answer, they said, well, the most readily available thing. I said, which is what? Oh, my hand. I said, that's why it didn't work. God said to use a rod. The implication is it is a neutral object. It's not a part of your body. You see, there's confusion that comes when the same hand that reaches out to love is the same hand that reaches out to strike. That's why God put a neutral object between you and the child. So that this establishes, this is what I am doing in obedience to God. By the way, don't use personal items. Don't use a wooden spoon to spank your kids. Oh, thank you for that testimony. One pastor's wife, after she heard this, she said, now I know why Jared hid my wooden spoons all over the house. You're going to be in the kitchen getting ready to bake a cake, and your kids are going to go ducking under the bed. Don't use a belt, Dad. You're going to be back here talking to the pastor in the lobby one day, and you're going to reach down to adjust your clothes, and the kids will go ducking under the clothes racks. Don't use a hairbrush. The Bible says a rod. I mean, you know, a club, two before, something. Use a rod. We use a little dowel rod. It's a 3/8 inch dowel rod. It still has some flex to it. And it says right on the end of it, the rod. That's the only thing it's used for. My kids will come in sometimes, you know, they'll be playing a game, soldiering or something, and they want to use it as a flag. I say, no, it's not a toy. It's a tool. It's used for one purpose. It has a particular place that it stays. And that's the only thing that it's used for. Do not use personal items. And then finally, correct until the will is broken. I personally do not believe that a number of swats is proper correction for different offenses. That is discipline. And the problem is that your kids will begin to weigh out and think, well, is my rebellion worth 3 swats? Yeah, I think I'll take 3 for that. I'd rather go on and rebel. And you never break the will that time. Folks, we have a twofold purpose. When you break the will of your child, you will build their spirit. But when you break the spirit of your child, you will build their will. That's why the scripture says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. I think there's several ways how you can provoke your children to wrath. But one of them is spanking them merely to vent your own anger. May I say to you that in correction, the key is sincerity, not severity. It's not how hard I spank. It is being committed to the process of breaking the will and changing the attitude of my child. And I would secondly say to you that it's going to be different with every one of your children. Some of your children are going to be very pliable and the will is going to be very easily broken. And there will be times even when just in the process of talking, you will sense that their will is broken and that they are responding to you. But that will not always be the case. Get with the child. And folks, this is a time-consuming process. But I'm not talking about a 5-minute process here. We're talking about the correcting process as a whole many times, a 45-minute to an hour and a half time, in order to help the child. You know what happens many times? We may go through a series of 5 or 6 days in a row in which we spank them for the same thing every day just to get it out of our hair and so on, and yet we've never broken the will, and that's the very reason we face the same thing 5 and 6 and 7 days in a row. Whereas if you had taken the time to begin with, to deal with the issue, confront the will, and get the will broken, you won't have to continue always facing that same thing over and over again. It doesn't mean that once the will of a child is broken, that their will never be bent against you again. I don't believe that you just break the will of a child one time. That can be stiffened again and so on. But in this process of spanking until the will is broken, it's going to be different with every child. How can you tell when the will is broken? Let me give you several keys, and one of them is not crying. Just because a child is crying doesn't mean that the will is broken. Why is that? Sometimes they start crying before you ever start spanking. They're not crying because the will's broken. They know what's coming. But when that cry turns from an angry, rebellious, I don't deserve this cry, into a sobbing cry, a quiet, soft, sobbing cry. Sometimes the will will be revealed as being broken just from the point that they stop kicking, they stop resisting, and their body relaxes. Sometimes the will will be broken not while you're spanking them, but while you're talking with them and reasoning with them through the scriptures. It will be different with every child. Please don't miss what I said. It will be different with every child. With Jonathan, my second one, there have been times when, as we were correcting, when his will was broken, that which had happened was gone. It was forgotten. He'd get up off my lap, smiling, ready to wrestle and play with Daddy again. When just 2 seconds before that, he had been kicking and resisting and fighting. You've got to learn to know your children, each one of them. Never forget a time with Timothy, and he was about 2.5 years old, and the issue was the milk, you know, and he just didn't want to drink his milk. I talked with him. He would not drink it. Brought him out of his chair, set him on my lap, got eye-to-eye contact. Timothy, you've got to drink your milk. I don't always make them finish everything and always drink it, but I knew that he had made an issue that day out of the milk. He just knew it. And so I talked with him, shared with him what God said, laid him on my lap, spanked him, sat him back in the seat, put the milk back before him, gave him an opportunity. This time, his hand went out around the milk. But that was as far as it went. I even tried helping his arm, nudging, not on your life, you know. I looked at him, son, you've got to drink. Nothing going. Back out of the seat, move the tray, back out of the seat, talk with him, share with him again what God says, son, you've got to obey. This is wrong. This is disobedience. Lay him down, spank him, sit him back up, instruct him, Timothy, you need to drink the milk, son. Set him back in the seat, put the tray back before him. He put his hand on that milk. It came over like this, up to his mouth. That was as far as it went. I even tried to tilt it. It wasn't going to tilt. You know how that goes. This process went on for 40 minutes of reasoning, talking. You don't spank the child continuously. The key is sincerity, not severity, working through. You've got to be determined as a parent that you're going to win because you have that responsibility before God. And if you spank and stop before the will is broken, the child won, and it'll be that much harder for you to break their will the next time. And that particular time, Timothy's will did not break while we were spanking. It didn't even break while he was in his seat. He was sitting on my lap, and I looked at him. I had eye-to-eye contact with him, and I was grieving in my heart. And I said, Timothy, Daddy loves you. Boom. He cried, sobbed. God broke his heart. Set him back in the seat. The milk was gone in 2 seconds. It's going to be different with every one of your children. But commit yourself to go through the process. I never forget passing by one of the trailers, one of the Life Action trailers, back before I ever joined the ministry. And they had Airstreams at the time, and the walls were even thinner, you know. And I was waiting for the man to come out to talk with me, and the wife said, he'll be out here in just a minute. He's with one of the children right now. And so I heard this going on in the back. All of a sudden I heard this, it's broken, it's broken, it's broken. He wasn't talking about the rod. He was trying to convince his dad that his will was broken. Now listen, folks, if they're trying to convince you that their will is broken, it ain't broken yet, okay? Deal with them God's way. Be sure that you, in the midst of that, communicate your commitment to God's way. And then fourthly is reassurance. Once the will is broken with that child, once the will is broken, don't send them off to their room. Say, okay, now go to your room. No, to me, that's rejection. No, you sit them on your lap, you love them, you reassure them, you pray together with them, you thank God for them. Thank God for the good qualities you see in their life. Thank God for their finally responding and obeying. Give them a vision in your prayer of how important it is that they do this now. By the way, the one who does the spanking must be the first one to do the reassuring. If dad spanks, mom, you're in the kitchen, and the kid, after it's finished, runs through the house and starts lifting up their arms or wants to hug you, don't do it. Until, first of all, the child has hugged and has been reassured in his relationship and restored back in the same way with the dad, with the one. I'd secondly say this to you. If you're not the one who's doing the spanking at that time, stay out of it. You will always think that your mate is being too difficult in the situation. I mean, it goes that way with the husband and the wife both. If that's true, you're going to have to go back here in a minute and reevaluate it. And if you do it wrong, you have to go back and you have to seek forgiveness. And you've got to talk with your mate about it and bounce it off your mate. So it'll become a real deterrent to you doing it the wrong way. But you stay out of it. And then once they have been reassured with that mate, I mean with that mom or that dad, and they've loved and you've prayed, then you can go to the other one. And then the fifth step, and these two could be reversed sometimes as far as reassurance, and restitution. Restitution is making right the wrong. If they've stolen something, they have a responsibility to take it back. If they've stolen a car from the nursery, don't you come back over to the church and hand it back in for them. If you do, 20 years later, you'll be taking the keys to somebody's Corvette back and saying, my son didn't mean to steal your car. No, you establish responsibility for the offense and let the child go back and make the restitution themselves. It'll have a profound impact upon them. I had to do this with one of my children when they came out of a Kmart one time with a pack of gum, and I knew that it had not been paid for. And we went through the correcting process, and then I took them to the Scriptures, and I said, now let's see in the Scriptures what we need to do. We went to one passage in the Scriptures where there had been stealing, and the Scripture said they had to restore fourfold. Went to another passage in the Scriptures, and the Scriptures said they had to restore sevenfold. And so we got into his own personal banking, piggy bank, brought out seven times the cost of the gum. I had to go in the store before I could take my son in, meet with the manager, explain to him what we were doing, explain to him how he had to respond. You may have to do this with grandparents sometimes. You're correcting the child. Your grandparent, if they don't know how to respond, can destroy the correcting process. The kid will come out and say, Grandma, will you please forgive me for doing something? She says, oh, honey, that's all right. Don't worry about it. That'll blow all your correcting. Teach them how to respond. Yes, honey, I forgive you. I'm glad you've learned to obey God. And so I had to work with this manager in this thing and took the child back in. And, you know, he said, well, I can't put this gum back on the shelf. I guess you could start to have it. And I'm standing behind him saying, no, like, he can't have it. He can't be rewarded in a time of disobedience and so on. So you have to work through those things sometimes with him. But make proper restitution. And then here's where you go back and you evaluate your correction. Evaluate your correction. Correction is done in patience, under control, and it's based on the future. I'm interested in the behavior of the child, not merely the misbehavior of the past. Punishment is done in anger, and it focuses on the past offense, the misbehavior of the child. I would say to you as a parent, it will be impossible for you to bring your child under control until you're under control. If you spank in anger, all you will do is discourage and frustrate your child. You must be under control yourself, realizing the responsibility before God. Biblical correction will be one of the greatest opportunities that you will have to grow in your dependency on God. And it'll be one of the greatest opportunities that you have to develop right relationship with each one of your children. You must be committed to doing it God's way, because God says when a parent refuses to correct their children, they are hating their child. But that genuine love will correct that child and deliver their soul from hell. What a responsibility and a blessing and a privilege God gives to us with our children. Well, let's bow our heads together in prayer. Gone about 5 minutes over, but I want to ask you to do something for me in the next few minutes here. I think it's very important that before we leave this auditorium, while we are close to the voice of God and that which He said to us throughout the day, I want to ask you to take a few minutes here in the auditorium as a husband and a wife. If you're here without your mate, you get alone, pray together about these areas before God. But here's what I want to ask you to do. Get together with your mate and discuss any specific areas that God has shown you through the day. There may be some areas that you even need to clear your conscience with your mate over. There may be some new directions that you need to take in relationship with your children. There may be areas where you need to go back and seek your children's forgiveness. establishing God's pattern in things. There may be areas where you've developed an improper self-worth. You may be with, that you want to identify a particular root problem. You want to begin to discuss how can we get at this with our child and help them get out of this. But I'm going to ask you to take the next few minutes. We're going to turn some music on at the back so that you can feel the freedom to spread out here in the auditorium with your mate and talk freely. And then after you've discussed those areas, and if there's things where you need to seek your mate's forgiveness and get a new start, then feel the freedom to do that. But after you've discussed those things, then I want to encourage you to close that time together in prayer. I'm going to ask the husband to pray first. And then if the wife, if she so desires after that to pray, to go ahead and let her pray. And commit these areas to God. Be praying specifically as well for tomorrow morning's service, when a lot of people who haven't been here through the week will be back in here together with us to hear what God has to say to us. And if you're here without your mate as a wife, I would say to you, get alone, you pray. Don't go home and open the notebook to the husband's responsibilities and leave it on top of his breakfast in the morning. You put the book up on the shelf, commit yourself to live out before him what God has shown you, focusing on you and not on your mate. And we'll believe God to continue that process in our lives. So why don't you, let's bow our heads together and pray. And after this time, I will try and get some music started so that you can have a few minutes of quiet. Here, we'll keep your children and take care of them until you finish this time together. Father, thank you for the working that you've done in our hearts today. Thank you for every home represented. God, I want to pray that you will protect the next few minutes and that you'll protect each of us from a spirit of pride that would cause us to push off what you've said and to refuse and to stiff neck and to not seek forgiveness where we need to seek forgiveness and to not be willing to admit where you've shown us that we've blown it. Thank you for the power of your word. God, I pray now that you will bless these next few minutes. May this be a time of real tenderness, reminding us again, Father, that before honor is humility, that you'll use these next few minutes in our husband and wife relationships to your glory.